Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio this morning, visiting from Missoula, Montana, is Robert Lee. He's a poet and novelist. Good morning, Robert.
Oh, good morning. Nice to be here.
And Carolyn Servid, an old friend here from Sitka, the co-director of the Island Institute. Good morning, Carolyn.
Hello, Robert.
And Robert Lee is your writer in residence for the whole month of September.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and he's been in town for a while.
Yeah, he arrived on August 31st, so he's been here for a stretch.
Okay, good. How are you enjoying it so far?
Well, I'm enjoying it very much. I'm adjusting to the rain. We get 11 inches a year where I live, so it kind of feels good.
Back in Missoula, 11 inches
a year.
But everything else, I mean, there is kind of a Montana-Alaska thing. It seems that we talk about the Montana mafia here in Sitka.
That's understandable. I moved to Missoula in 72, and when I look around here and see that all the talented people, the musicians, the artists, and the kind of community conversations that happen, it reminds me very much of Missoula, which has grown a little too fast, but still is a nice town.
And we're going to talk about poetry and poetry forms and a workshop you're going to be giving in Sitka this Saturday. But I wanted to ask you, Robert, sort of how you got into writing. I was looking at your bio, you actually wrote a novel in the late 90s that kind of one of those classic Montana fishing novels. I only got through the first few pages just online just a minute ago, but it seems like, well, I was telling you guys before we went on the air, I almost missed my newscast because I got into the story of this fishing guide.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, that I've had a lot of people tell me they've gotten a lot of laughs out of that book, and that makes me feel really good. That book kind of came about. I did a open mic reading when I was almost 40 years old. I'd kind of written for myself until then, and a friend talked me into it. I read, and a bunch of people in the MFA program at the university came up to me and said, you know, you really should be in the program. And I went over and started taking some classes, was luckily accepted in a very good MFA program at the University of Montana. Graduated in 1996, and my novel came out in 97. So it was one of those life-changing readings.
Yeah, it's called Guiding Elliot. And, you know, when you pitch a movie, you have to say it's this meets this. I want to say it's like Norman McLean meets Ian Frazier or something. It's sort of like a river runs through it, mashed with this kind of, I don't know, just something very funny going on there. And the whole idea of the first chapter is this fishing guide who goes out to kind of a secret spot and finds somebody there. And how often does that happen in Sitka? All the time. I mean, we could really relate. But from there to poetry, were you doing poetry before your novel came out? And the novel was a way to kind of kickstart your poetry again?
Yeah. Well, it gets a little sideways for me. I guess I started in the writing program as a poet. I wrote a short story that was really well received, and I read it at a public reading, and Leonard Robinson, who was used to be the editor of the New Yorker and was on Esquire, started a fiction program in Esquire. An older man is gone now, but he heard my story and invited me to the last novel class he ever taught, asked me to go read Ring Lardner, and I did. And then he asked me to copy Ring Lardner, who had a book called You Know Me, Al, which was an epistolary novel like the one I wrote. I did start copying it and took off with it, and suddenly had a novel. I don't think poets and novelists are necessarily two different breeds of cat. You know, I think if you're a writer, you can make yourself a better prose writer by writing poetry and vice versa. So.
Right. You mentioned that You Know Me, Al is an epistolary novel, meaning it's written in the form of a letter or from the author to his friend Al about baseball. It's a great book, and Guiding Elliot is the newsletter of this fishing guide, right?
Right. He's writing back to a New York Trout Unlimited group, telling them he's going to tell them all they need to know about fishing, and really laying out his small town beliefs and foibles and human condition, I guess.
Okay. So from the get-go, you're kind of already interested in form. I mean, for your novel, you chose a specific form, and for poetry, you also are interested in form, right?
I really am. I don't write strictly in form, of course. In fact, I probably write mostly free verse, but I'm aware of form when I'm writing it, and I think that awareness is something that poets should have. It helps us with the history of poetry. It helps us with the music and the rhythm of poetry. It just has a lot of things going for it.
This Saturday, the workshop is 10 a.m. To 4 p.m. at Carolyn. It's at the
Pioneer Home Managers Residence.
At the Pioneer Home Managers Residence, and you'd like people to register in advance, or should people?
We have a number of people so far, and we are limiting the space, so we are asking people to sign up ahead. We do still have space.
Okay, so 747-3794 to register for this. It's $30 for adults and $15 for high school and college students. But Robert, you're going to open the class talking about form, and the form you've chosen to sort of introduce students to the idea of form is something I'd never heard of. It's called a Clara Hughes?
A Clara Hughes, yeah. I think I will introduce several forms that probably many people haven't heard of. I kind of went online and looked for form, or do that occasionally, and there's a lot of them out there. And this Clara Hughes is kind of a fun little poem that you can, it's a pseudo-autobiographical, so you can poke fun at your favorite politician or whatever. It's four lines, it's a AABV rhyme scheme, and I think it just lends itself to humor.
Okay, let's hear one.
Okay, this one is Clara Hughes. Napoleon hated taller men, nearly all men, waged war in many a foreign port, died short.
How do you spell Clara Hughes? I want to look this up.
The way I have it, and I think it's correct, C-L-E-R-I-H-E-W.
Clara Hughes. Yeah, I thought it was Clara Hughes, like a name, but it's a Clara Hughes. Have you got another one? They're so short.
Yeah, okay. Elvis, blue suede shoes, gyrating pelvis, Twinkies, Coke, early to the Undertaker. On the third day, there arose an impersonator.
So, from there, from the Clara Hughes, where do you go? Once people sort of get the idea that form can matter in poetry, where do you move?
We're gonna move through a couple of light forms like that to get people just to know each other, to share some work with each other, hopefully to laugh with each other, and then we'll move on to some more traditional forms. I'm going to introduce a form called a tetractee, which is also a lighter form, I guess, although I've been finding it a good tool for me. I've written quite a few. But then we'll move into the sonnet, of course, and play with the sonnet a little bit and talk a little bit about how the sonnet has emerged as a form that contemporary writers use, not so much as a love poem, but as all kinds of subject matter. And then I'd like to work into, by the end of the day, the sestina, which is one of my favorite forms, which is kind of a daunting, long 39-line poem with a formula that I don't put in my memory. I always have to look it up, but it's repeated end words all the way through the 39 lines, six line stanzas, and then one 3-line terset at the end. It includes all six words, end words. So,
wow. So that's the sestina, and you've got the sonnet and the tetracti, where you're actually counting syllables, 1, 2, 4.
It goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, 10, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And then back down. And you yourself said when you're writing a sestina, you have to have kind of the rules next to you. Does that, does following form as a poet constrain you, or does it free you in a way?
Well, I think one of the reasons that I like form is that it feels like a constraint at first. You know, it's this mathematical formula that you're trying to, and a rhyme scheme, so you're looking for rhyme words. And that can, of course, lead itself to bad poetry. You're trying to rhyme orange or something. But it also can free you, and I think in several ways. And one of the main ones is that it you're so intent on the formula that emotional poem that you wanted to write for 3 years about your mother's death all of a sudden slides out on the page. And then I'm going to stress the freedom of, as we write form and we follow the formula, the most important thing, of course, is the poem. And so we can abandon form also, or abandon it for a line or a stanza or whatever the poem requires for the poem to end up being what we want it to be.
Interesting. And that sounds like something that is an exercise worth doing in the company of other poets, because sometimes knowing when to sort of let go of a form you've adopted or something might be best, you know, done in consultation.
Well, you know, and one of the things that I'm hopeful of this one-day workshop is that a group of us will have a lot of fun playing with poetry together and maybe surprising, you know, I'm going to learn too, we'll surprise each other with things. Somebody might bring in a form I've never heard of, or we'll share some poetry that surprises us. And then my hope is that some of those people in that group will make a connection to let them keep writing together in Sitka, even after I'm back in Montana.
All right. Again, the workshop's going to be this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Pioneer Home Manager's Residence. Writers of all levels are welcome to come and try out different poetic forms. If you'd like to register, give Carolyn a call at the Island Institute, 747-3794. And Carolyn, briefly, the Island Institute Writer in Residence program is, we've got Robert this month, but then it's going to be next spring before the next one comes
along?
That's
right. This year we only have three writers coming, and there are two women coming back-to-back March and April, both of them interested in fishing. One of them, another poet, who has won some interesting awards. She's young. She's in her mid-20s, and she's writing fishing poems. She fishes with her father on a seine boat up here in southeast Alaska.
Wow.
And the other is coming to do sort of a research project about women in fisheries, in Sitka in particular. But so they're coming back to back. One is an example of what the other one is researching. So we're going to try to have them overlap at least at one event.
Sitka, the fish poetry capital of the world.
Could be.
Sounds good. I like the way it rolls off the tongue.
We'll make up a new form.
Carolyn Servet is co-director of the Island Institute. Robert Lee is a poet and novelist visiting this month from Missoula, Montana. Thanks very much for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.